Amen. So let's pray. God in heaven, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity to hear from heaven. I thank you that these great people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. So I thank you for a word in season to them that may be weary, that my teaching today is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. I thank you, Lord, that we all have ears to hear what your spirit is saying. And I thank you, Father, for a 30, 60, and a 100-fold return on what's being sown today. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say,
amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, please. These are our four core values here at New Day. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will connect.
I will be equipped.
I will be equipped.
And I will serve.
And I will serve.
I had a question for you. What are you willing to give up to go up? What are you willing to give up to go up? This series in December, he brought us out to bring us in. There is something the Lord is bringing you out of, and we focus on that, but there is also something he wants to bring you into. Now, the coming out of and the going into, in between that is what we call the wilderness. Now, I need everybody to listen to me on this one. The wilderness, that's where a lot of us get stuck. And so we'll come out, but then we're physically out, but mentally and emotionally, we're still in. And we never enter into the promises of God. We're talking about a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'll get to that in just a second. And often the reason we don't make it into that promised land or into that purpose, into what he has for us, is because there's something we're unwilling to give up. Now, we're going to look at it a little differently today. Last week, we talked about that village life, when you're stuck in a village. And now I'm going to give you just another perspective on it today. And I pray that this blesses you. I believe this is so appropriate for our community. When I say our community, our demographic, and really it's not a demographic, it's a psychographic. When you think demographics, you tend to think racially. But actually, a lot of racists believe the same and have the same ideas, the same values. We just different races. So it's really more psychographics than demographics, right, now that I'm speaking to, okay? I heard something, and I can't cite it right now. I don't recall this a few years ago. But there was a study done on entrepreneurs. Now, a lot of us have an entrepreneur spirit, and we get, you know, got a business idea. And I'd please hear my heart when I say this, nothing negative. But the really good entrepreneurs in America, the average annual revenue is $18 million. I know a lot of you guys are not there in terms of your revenue, and even though you're entrepreneurs. So I need you to hear, just don't get boxed in and say he doesn't think highly of me, nothing like that. Just a study that showed really good entrepreneurs do $18 million a year. That's pretty good. And so what happens is most gets capped there. They get stuck there. They get stuck right there at $18 million. And so the question was posed, well, what's the next level? If they would just make a shift, if there was something they would give up, what that next level they would hit? And I was thinking, oh, probably like $30 million, 30, 36, probably double, $36 million. What do you guys think? What's the next level? And if you heard me say this, don't answer. I know I've done this in some leadership trainings or destined for purpose and things like this. But let me ask you guys something. After the 18, what do you think the next level is if they would switch? It's $100 million. It's $100 million. But it's something they're unwilling to give up. And they get stuck at $18 million. Now, don't get me wrong, I'd love to be stuck at $18 million. Do the math. That's $1.5 million a month. Oh, I can get stuck there. I can be in that rut. Hallelujah. But there's something they're unwilling to give up. But if they did make the switch, $100 million is next. Let's get into this. So the sermon title, the sermon series is, He Bought Us Out to Bring Us In. Now, our text is Exodus 3, verses 7 through 8. Remember, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and this is the Lord speaking to them. Verse 7, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. And some of y'all are thinking of your supervisors right now, glory. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Verse 8, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. So it's two things. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and take you into your own. I'm going to bring you out of and take you into. I'm going to bring you out of and take you into. I'm going to bring you out of and take you into. So once you come out of, do your little dance, little celebration, just like Miriam did with the children of Israel, you know, made it through the Red Sea, they danced and all that, but they still didn't enter the promised land. And many of us get stuck in the wilderness. You know the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers? Do you know the real title of the book of Numbers is In the Wilderness? And many of us get stuck there. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. We have a whole teaching that Yvonne Palmer's put together on that, and Minister Monique, didn't you do that twice for us? Okay, yeah, and so over the summer we have like special training sometimes, and that was one of them about those Hittites and Jebusites and all those guys and really what they stand for and what they really mean. Now stay with me. Question, what is your signature strength? And by that, I mean, what is that thing you're known for? What is that thing you're really good at? No time for humility right now, especially the false humility. What is that thing you're good at that you do better than the average person that you're known for? What is it? What is it? Whatever. Just in your heart, just bring that up for a second. You know, my wife is amazing. She's an amazing planner with scheduling. She's good with scheduling. Remember, we talked about that when we were younger, and then eventually she became a project manager. And so that's just, she loves a project. She wants to be project managing me. Okay, so, hey, for some of you, it's hospitality. Some of you, it's just, you got it. Some of you is dancing. Some of you is artistic, just the way you express yourself. And that's fine, okay? That's great. But now what happens is that we at a subconscious level, sometimes conscious, but at a subconscious level, because we're so good at it and we become so comfortable, what happens is we overextend it and we take it a little too far. And God sometimes wants to do something else, but because we're so used to that, we kind of get stuck in it. And there are times when we need to like put that on the shelf for a minute and be open to what else he might want to do. And then the other thing that we do sometimes, we try to make everybody else like us. Some of y'all were members of churches, and if you didn't preach like the preacher, then he didn't let you get up. Other than both being black men, me and Minister Duane ain't got much in common. But I'm not going to try to make him like me. Let him be your lively self. I'm not going to put, you know, you got to watch how we constrain people. And God has gifted people. And so the second bullet point, remember that it's not so much about you, but what God wants to do through you. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42. Now, this is a very, very familiar passage, very familiar. And what happens is because you read this, heard this, you might miss what I'm about to say. So I need everybody to have ears to hear. That's why we say the ears to hear. 8 times in the gospel, that phrase, that they have ears to hear. And many times we don't have ears to hear. 7 times in the book of Revelation, it says, I pray you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And often we miss it because we've heard it before, or I know that, or here's my favorite. It happens frequently. It happened yesterday. So after I minister, somebody always want to come up and tell me their interpretation of that particular passage. And it just, it's like, it's cool, but it's like, what, why? Let's keep going. Verse 38. And this is Jesus. As Jesus and the disciples continued, did I say Luke 10? Did I tell you? Okay, you can. Okay, Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Say her home.
Her home.
She had her own crib. It's pretty good for a woman in the Middle East back that time. She had it going on. She was rocking and rolling, okay? Now, verse 39, her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. Martha's welcomes Jesus and the crew, the disciples, into her home. Mary, kicking it right there at Jesus' feet, just listening. And it's so funny that Jackie, my wife, got up a moment ago right after worship, and she just said, just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Just breathe it in. Just sit in that. And you said it at one point, too, Elder. Just sit in it. And then Pastor Todd, you said surrender. What we got to surrender. Sometimes we just need to sit. We need to sit. We need to sit. You don't always need to do. We need to sit. But because a lot of us are doers, we walk in and want to do something. If we ain't doing something, we feel weird. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about because that's me. So now Martha chooses to exercise her gift of hospitality. That's great. That's a great gift, okay? Mary made a different choice. We really don't know what Mary's gift is because Mary's like, I'm putting my gift on the shelf. Jesus is here. I'm going to sit and learn a little something. Jesus was their friend. We read in John 11 that when Lazarus, the brother, passed away, and the scripture says that, you know, and they got sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, whom, you know, your brother whom you love, he loved Lazarus. These are people that are very dear to him. And sometimes when people are dear to us, we tend to discard them. Mary was different. You know, the people in Jesus' hometown, they couldn't even receive from Jesus. Because, wait, isn't it the carpenter's son? Verse 40. But Mary was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Distracted. Now, here's the thing. She's operating in her gift, but she's distracted. How do you get distracted doing what you were created to do? Listen. Because there's sometimes you need to just walk in a situation and ask a question as opposed to assuming you know. And this is where we run into that problem, because just about every one of you sitting in here are successful. Well, Pastor, I got a long way to go. I still haven't finished this. I know, but if you look globally, y'all got it going on. You come to some of the places Jack and I visit around the world, oh, y'all all that and a bag of chips. But Martha was distracted. That means she was missing something. By the big dinner she was preparing. Watch this. She came to Jesus and said, watch this, walked to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Jesus, this is what you need to do. This situation needs to shift and change. Because I'm Martha. I know what's going on. I got my own house. I done had success in life. So this is how it ought to be. I know what I'm talking about. So Jesus, she needs to get up and help me. Be like me. Not everybody. If everybody's like you, then the rest of us wouldn't be necessary. I need you to really see this. I know we go through this story a lot, and I use it in counseling to help people slow down, but stop and think for a moment. You guys that are doers and successful, sometimes you need to pump your brakes and just sit at his feet. But because we get validation from doing and achieving, we tend to overstep our boundaries, and we can miss, just like Martha had Jesus in her house exercising her gift, and she was distracted. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? And often when we look at life, we say, well, God, that's not fair. God, I don't understand this. God, why is it like that? God, where's your universe? And that's not a condemnation. I just want you to stop and think for a moment. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits? And that's your perspective. You look at somebody else and you judge them based on your status, your level of life. The scripture clearly says the last shall be first. Better watch how you're judging people. Because on judgment day, you might be in the back of the line and they're in the front of the line. And you thought you was all that. Because you got your 750 IL. Brand new BMW. With everything the BMW offers, you got it on your car. Glory. And I'm not mad at you. Please. I like cars. Y'all know that. But we can't base our status on something like that. I need you to hear that. I need you to see this. Tell her to come and help me. Proverbs 11:2 says this. Proverbs 11:2. Write it down. Pride leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So when I walk in a situation, one of the things I try to do is, Lord, where are you working? What's going on here? Where are you working? See, there's something called a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset. Fixed mindset, and a lot of people in poverty have a fixed mindset, and they're limited in their thinking. And those that tend to do more better financially and economically, they have what we call a growth mindset. They look and they see what can be, and they solve problems, and because of that, they get resources, they get finances, they get blessed, you know. Generally, the people that make the most money are those that solve the most problems or solve the biggest problems, and that's fair. We need our problems solved, and I love problem solvers in my life because I need help. My love language is acts of service, and you help me, okay? So y'all be wondering, like, why Pastor Tony is so crazy about me? Because you're helping me. You're speaking my language. And so my wife's words of affirmation, affirm her. You ain't never got to affirm me. You never have to tell me, great job, well to go, good pastor. I appreciate it, but you really want to help me? Do some work around here, okay? Sign up. Lakeisha, the HR director, that's like, help, yes. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And so here's the thing, too, though. Even with us that are successful, we can get to the point where we develop a fixed mindset about how church should be, how life should be. You know, we came from a church. And if I'm not careful, I try to duplicate the church we came from. And a lot of times people come here and they tell me about their church they came from. And it's cool, we can glean and all that, but sometimes I got to make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do here. And I can be a carbon copy of somebody else's. And I got to pay attention. So even as we rise up, I got to continue to maintain that growth mindset. I can never get boxed in where I'm fixed, where I feel I got it figured out, and I become like Martha trying to tell everybody else to be like me. And I encourage you guys to do the same, because that's something we need to give up to go up, because there's another level we need to hit. And often it's our strength, and we get stuck in what we like doing, and we miss it. Brother Malik says something to me in, we're in Brazil. And we were walking or sitting, you know. Anyway, he and I kind of saying we just like being by ourselves. So anyway, I think we're in a mall. Oh, there he is. Okay, we were somewhere, and you made the statement. You said, Pastor Tony, something I noticed about you, you are quick to release and trust others to do things. And he said, I admired it about you. And that really blessed me, because I'm a controller. I like to know everything that's going on. And as the church grows, I can't know. Elder Joy sends out emails and she doesn't copy me on them. But I can only be so much. And I won't be a covering for this church. I'll be a lid. There's a big difference. But if I trust and release, then the church can grow. And everybody can step into who God created them to be and fulfill their purpose. And that's why they were sent. But if I try to be like Martha, like, everybody just come and listen to me, we're going to have a problem. Verse 41, but the Lord said to her, watch this, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. And what's that one thing? To sit at his feet. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Let's get back to Martha for a minute. What did Martha need to be rescued from? What did she need to be bought out of? Herself. How many times is just too much of us? Too much of us. Too much of us. We're too dominant. We just walk in and take over. We're too big. And it's so funny, since a lot of you learning personality styles, and you've been working with me on, Destined for Purpose and all that, you understand it. I love it. I remember you, my dear sister, Minister Stephanie. Oh, she said, oh, no, oh, no. We can say, oh, no. Yeah. But sometimes people, like with her personality and my wife, they come in a room big. Walk in the room, hey! Everybody else look up and is like, what? Just come, bring that down. Just come and sit down and like, hey, come in big. You do that. You ain't the only one. You too, Lisa. Minister Lisa. Yeah, Lisa, I know. You too, Miss Carla. Yeah, you guys come in. No, you come in big. Yeah, you too, little Lisa. Yeah, you guys. Hey, how y'all doing? just as chipper and happy and bright and sunshiny and just like, woo. So you too, Kathy. Yeah, sometimes it's like, okay. All right. Would you tell it to Lila Tallis? Dial it down. Okay. But so it's not a bad thing. But we need to learn that about ourselves and be mindful of how we're impacting others, because sometimes we don't know the influence or how other people are experiencing us. And I wonder if Martha had any idea what Mary's experience of her was. Hey, just a side note. I'm not going to even charge you for this one. So Lazarus dies, right? And this is later on. Lazarus dies, and Jesus shows up, and Mary and Martha, that both of them go to Jesus individually. Watch this. And both of them say the same thing. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Okay, Jesus cries over Mary. He doesn't cry about Martha. Same thing. Also, too, when Martha goes out to see Jesus, nobody follows her. And she's the one with the house and everything else. She's the one got it going on. But when Mary goes to see Jesus, guess what? Everybody followed. The more you stay at Jesus' feet, the more influential you're going to become. So Martha needed to be rescued from herself. And I think what Jesus wanted to lead her into was a deeper relationship with him. You know, I watched as I was going through seminary, even before that, and I believe in the seminary I went to is deep with theology, but also deep, great with the things of the Spirit. Most seminaries in America are just great with theology. They really don't do the Holy Spirit. And I need both, okay? I grew up Baptist, which is your mainline. And the thing about mainliners, most of them are highly educated. When I say mainliners, you're Baptist, you're Methodist. And I'm not mad at them. Just not picking anybody. I don't do that. And they could be sitting here and I say the same thing, okay? If I got a lot of friends that fall in this category, and they believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit went out. One of the reasons they believe it went out is because they are so smart themselves. They figure it ain't happening to them. It must not be. And what you're missing out, Jesus said, don't do any ministry until you get the power of the Holy Spirit. If he told us, the 12 disciples who walked with him, slept with him, did miracles with him, not to do nothing until they got the Holy Spirit, who are we to sit here and say the Holy Spirit is not necessary? How much farther can we go? I know personally, but what my life is like being Spirit-led. Even yesterday at your event, Sister Carolyn, you know, it was great worship, and I knew we weren't finished. And I'm waiting for somebody to step up. God is speaking, and I didn't, you know, I got your permission because it was your event. But I stood up, and I was like, okay, you, that choir that she had, one of you guys back there, God is giving you something. Come up here and share it with us, please. And she did, didn't she? And everybody was blessed. And later on, everybody said, that was the best one we ever had. Holy Spirit. So a lot of us, what we need to be bought out of is success. We need to be bought out of our success. We need to be rescued from our success and bought into humility. And get that humility, that's when, here's the thing too. If you don't learn to ask questions and go in with that attitude in every situation, you're going to miss God. Because you go in believing you got it together. And it's so easy for us to do. And I don't want us to get stuck at 18 million. I'm looking for 100 million. Amen. Amen? And I'm not talking financially. I'm just using that metaphorically or allegorically, whichever one's correct, you English people, okay? You got to tell me after service. Just let me know how next time, okay? I'll get it right second service. Amen. Amen. Turn, please, to John 12. We're going to close with this. Now watch this, because I'm going to tell you, no questions, no growth. If you don't know questions, no growth. You only get the growth when you're asking questions. When you go with a humble mindset to see where God is working and what he's doing, and especially in somebody's life where they may not have what you have, and I've had to learn to do that too. You know, you came up to me, you had a word for me yesterday, and you're like, I'm not a minister, I'm not one of them, I'm not one of the elders, but the Lord spoke to me about you, and little Miss Lisa, she was a little nervous, and she came and she gave it to me. And even after you gave it to me, you kept, you know, she was trying to justify it, like, you know, and then this is what we do too, and you did it, but it's no knock on you, but I want you to see this. First time guest not coming back, because he's like, that pastor talked about everybody in this church. I ain't joining that church. He be calling you out. I only do it after you get to know me. I'm just playing. But what happens is that you may feel that, you know, you're not at a certain level, but God will give you something. And he did. And so when Lisa gave me the word, and she just kind of, you kind of downplayed it, and I pulled out. Because the night before, we were down in Orange County, and a lady who I'd never seen came and like, bam, 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 bam. And as she started, I pulled out my phone because I wanted to record it, because he was hitting it. And literally, 3 hours before that, Jack and I pulled over on the side of the road down in Orange County, pulled up in the gas station, and we needed to pray. We needed some direction, need some clarity, just where our life is, where the ministry is going. I need to, and right that night, I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I'm at that place. I need some direction. I need some answers now. And after we prayed, cried a little bit, got back in the car and drove, get to the party. We're leaving, and the lady comes up to us and said, hey, I got God gave me something. Now, the funny thing was, I remember looking for her. I want to say goodbye to that nice lady. I didn't see her. We get to the front door, she comes out, and she begins to boom, boom, boom. My friend, another friend was there. He pulled his phone out. He recorded it. And so when I got up early Saturday morning, I transcribed it. I typed it all out. And then, so what happened then, Lisa comes to me after Miss Carolyn's event, and she begins to share what the Lord has shared with her, but you kind of downplayed it. So I pulled that out, what I typed up, and I showed it to you. And she was like, and it just confirmed, God speaks. Yeah. I'm not going to discount you. No, not at all. Not at all. And some others now, some churches, they might. Oh, you got a word for me? No, that's real. John 12, 1-8, watch this. 6 days before the Passover celebration began. Now, this is after Lazarus had died. That's Mary and Martha's brother, okay? Now, Jesus raised him from the dead, okay? This is where we pick this up. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead, okay? You know what? I want to set this up. I need verse 9. Just drop down, Ebony, drop down to verse 9. I'm going to do it backwards. Do 9, and then I'm going to come back to this because I want to set this up. Verse 9. One, two, there we go. I know, baby, I'm just messing with them, okay? You know what? Because that's our son and daughter-in-law. I can have fun with them. They get me. Leave my children alone. Okay. Okay. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man that Jesus had raised from the dead. There were so many, I need to set this up. There were so many people there. Got it? This was jammed. Everybody heard Lazarus was dead 4 days. You got it? Okay, now let's go back to verse 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Next verse, please. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served. She still didn't learn. Your brother's been raised from the dead. Everybody's there. Not all them people, you can't find somebody else to cook some food. You can't find somebody else. Let this sit in. Here's your shining moment. But see, this is what I'm saying about what we need to give up to go up. Sometimes we need to just sit. And Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Next verse, please. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Next. But Judas Iscariot, that's the one who betrayed Jesus, okay? The disciple whom would soon betray him said this. Watch this. That perfume was worth a year's wages. Average wage in America is like $31,000, $32,000 a year, something like that. That's some expensive perfume. She took the best. Now, this tells me something else, too. Mary had the means to buy that level of perfume. That's a whole other message. You guys are going on mission trips. I've got a whole other message for how to fundraise. Look who Jesus hung out with. That's a whole other deal. The wage was worth, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Now he stands up in front of all the people. There's a lot of people. A lot of people. He stands up. Doesn't that sound holy? So righteous. In fact, today when we receive the offering, we're doing our gift for the king. We're going to help orphans. Amen. Amen. That's noble, huh? They're helping the orphans, the foster kids in America, the poor kids overseas. Such a noble church, that new day. Okay. And this sounds really good, right? But his heart wasn't right. Next verse, please. Watch this. Watch this. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Next verse, please. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." Now, my question is, how did Mary know that and Martha didn't? She's about to go to the cross. You about to miss it. Jesus makes this statement in Luke. And praise team, can you come forward? Jesus makes this statement in Luke. He said, I can't tell you real right now, okay? But he said, they didn't know the hour of his visitation, and he began to cry over Jerusalem. Jesus is right there, and we're missing him. Because we're boxed in to our strength. We're boxed in to what we're comfortable with. We're boxed in to what we're good at. We're boxed in. We're limited by that. And we need to be rescued from that. That is your strength. I acknowledge it. I'm all about purpose and what you were created to do. You know that. But there are sometimes you need to put your purpose on the shelf and sit down. Excuse me. Could it be the reason you're stuck or you're stagnant? And even if you had 18 million, and you know what I'm talking about, metaphorically speaking, even if you're rocking and rolling, 100 is the next step. So maybe, just maybe, if you get more at his feet, you'll get more direction, more clarity, and your faith will rise too, because no longer are you so dependent upon yourself and what's gotten you there. Because often what got you here is not going to get you to the next place. I just want to encourage you. Last week we talked about the village life, and it was real negative stuff that you shouldn't be doing, all the sin and all that. Well, right now, there's some good stuff you're doing, but good is the enemy of great. And a lot of times we need to prune the good to make room for the great. So you can go to the next level in your life. God wants us victorious in all that we do. Scripture says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Bless you all. Amen.